Again, my name is Ferdinand. You can call me Ferdy. You can call me Freddy. Or even Sketty, whatever. I told pastors, just make sure you put the right name on my check so I can encash it. I don't mind whatever you call me. Just make sure my check is right. Especially each month when I receive support. Folks, I am very much thankful to God for saving me.
Amen.
And let me encourage your heart. When I come here in your building, and in most churches that I go in, I readily look at the missionary bulletin board. And how I am so surprised and amazed that this church had been supporting around 60 missionaries all over the world. And I would like to thank you all for doing that, because I came to know the Lord as my Savior in the Philippines through your American missionary.
Amen.
He may not be directly supported by this church, I don't know. But the fact that your church supports a missionary to the world, I can say that I am a byproduct or a result of your prayers, your sacrifices, and your giving to the Lord's work for mission. But you know, I am so blessed to see little children as well.
Amen.
While doing your choir practice, allow me to speak from Matthew chapter 19, verse number 13, 14, and 15. In this verse of scriptures, the Bible says, "Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them, and pray the disciples rebuke them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them, and departed thence." Folks, you know, I am so blessed that I can see kids here in this church, for I can tell that this church has a very, very bright future, because you are bringing kids into this church. You are bringing your kids, your sons and daughters, your granddaughters and grandchildren maybe, and here Jesus' concentration. Jesus, you can see the compassion of the Lord to little children.
Amen.
Folks, I first heard the gospel when I was 10 years old. Is there any 10-year-old boy here now? Would you raise your hand if you're a 10-year-old boy from among the boys here? No, not you, Brother Joe. When I was 10, folks, through the faithfulness of our neighbor, through their faithful witness, their commitment to Christ to win a lost soul to Christ, I was able first to get interested with hearing the gospel. They keep on inviting us over to their home for a Bible study. Home, we call that home Bible study. Of course, as a Catholic, we were raised as Catholic. We are not interested. But you know, Christian people have a way of attracting children, a methods. And the methods that were used to us, particularly to me, was that every time our neighbor would invite us, he would say, "Come over, Ferdy. We got some iced tea and cookie for you."
Amen. Amen.
Folks, back in the 80s, we as Filipino children, we don't really use to be receiving such kind of a snack as a young boy. I remember I can only get to use or to drink a Royal True Orange or a cracker whenever I get flu or I am sick. That's why sometimes I have to pretend that I am sick so that my mom will give me a cracker and a Royal True Orange, so that that neighbor of ours, when he found out that that would be the methodology to be used, he keeps on inviting us every Saturday, And I keep on coming every Saturday afternoon with my two other brothers, and one sister. There were four of us. But never understanding, folks, that in my lifetime, after 8 years, that God one day will get my attention. And I will never forget the day, folks. It was September 19, 1982, when I finally recognized within myself that I am lost and I am dying, and anytime I die without Jesus Christ, I will be going to hell and I will not be enjoying God in heaven because I am not saved. And the only way I can be there in heaven with the Lord and with my God is for me to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, believe Him as my only Savior, and look on that cross of Calvary where He took me in, where He shed His precious blood, cleansed me, and washed away all my sins. I recognize and I realize that as a faithful Catholic altar young boy, I used to be helping priests in doing the mass when I was a boy. I know exactly when I would need to ring the bell. Whenever he will raise that wafer horse that for Catholics, it actually becomes the literal body of Christ. Wherein for us believers, we know that the bread that we partake during the Lord's Supper does not become a literal body of Christ, but it's just a memorial for us to remember that one day Christ died for us, amen? And that He suffered, and that He cleanses you and washed away our sin, so that He said, do this until He comes. Folks, I walked down the aisle. I become honest, as they were singing, just as I am, without one plea. And I would never forget September 19, 1982. That's the day that I could say I become a true born-again child of God. Amen. Jesus was right when He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. I was born in this flesh April 26, 1964. Yes, I am 53 years old. If I don't color my hair, it's all be white. But because I want to please my wife, when I was 30 years old, a young woman, a sales lady, when I was 30 years old, when I was trying to buy something from her, he called me an old man at age 30. And my wife said, go ahead, color your hair. And you know, I married her in 1985. I was then 21 years old. We've been married now for some 32 years. I was married with her in 1985 with the same woman that I love, my ex-girlfriend, my roommate for 32 years.
Amen. Amen.
And I learned, easy folks, the standard to be a happy husband. I learned that in order for me to be happy, I can never be right. I can never be right. If I wanted to be happy, amen? She needs to be right if I wanted to be happy. And I've learned, easy too, that to have a happy life is to have a happy wife. That's why I colored my hair. But folks, God called me to preach in 84. In 88, her and I started a church. We went to that province called Nueva Ecija. I saw that you are supporting Brother Tangob already in the island of the Visayas. I am in the largest island in Luzon. Philippines is Luzon, Visayas, and Mindanao. Luzon is the northern part. Luzon is the biggest island. Visayas is the central part, and Mindanao is the southern part. Mindanao is where all the communist people are. Mindanao is where you hear the movement of the ISIS and the Abu Sayyaf and all these
terrorist groups in the Philippines. And just right now, we have one city there that is under siege by the ISIS. When I left our country, they're still under siege. Our president thought that it would be over by 60 days. He even declared a martial law to the whole island of Mindanao. When I left the country, the whole island of Mindanao was under martial law again. But it's a different martial law than what we have during the time of Marcos, our previous president. But folks, I am so privileged to be able to use by God. To God be the glory. I'm not claiming anything for myself.
Amen.
Folks, whenever I tell you of the things that I have accomplished already as a missionary, maybe the average missionaries that you have heard already in this church will tell you, this is what I'm going to do when I go to the field. Folks, after I was saved, was ordained to the ministry in 88, we readily started and planted a church. From that church, we have our Christian day school. From that church, we have our ministry to the kids and the young people. I have a heart for kids and the young people because as a 10-year-old boy, I was first introduced to the gospel. As a Catholic boy, folks, until I heard the word, and the Bible was true when he said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
I got to have faith only the moment I got to hear the precious preaching and proclamation of the word of God. I did not get saved because of my emotion. I didn't get saved because of the, you know, that I was just attracted by any other group. No. I can tell you, folks, that I got to know the Lord is because I heard the preaching of the word of God.
Amen.
And I can remember exactly the verses and the truths of the message that that missionary told us that day. And you know, Paul was right when he said in Romans 10:14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? My people, being Catholic, they would not readily call on God. 70 million people in the Philippines. 70 million people. And the large percentage of that 70 million people in a very small territory. If you look at our map, most of you, I have given our prayer card already. If you look at our map, you can compare the Philippines to the size of the state of Florida only. But we have 7,100 islands in the Philippines. I would say more than 60% of the 70 million were an idol worshiper people. They would tell you that they believe in God, but they do not know him as the real God the way we know him.
Amen.
No, they don't know. Yes, Catholic people, they have the Father, they have the Son, they have the Holy Spirit, but they also have the Mother. And they call Mary as Mama Mary. In my country, after the EDSA revolution, if you heard this in 1986, after our former president for 20 years was overthrown in power, the next president, Corazon Aquino, being a Catholic, she erected a statue of Mary in the heart of Manila. Manila is the capital city of the Philippines, just like your Washington, D.C., the capital of the states. And in the heart of Manila, she erected a statue of Mary standing like this, of course without the Bible, standing like that, made of bronze. And the height of the statue was about 40 feet high. But the sad part on that statue, folks, was the verse 2 Chronicles 7:14 was placed underneath that image that says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. I can say, folks, that there's nothing wrong with that verse. Amen?
Amen.
That's what America needs right now.
Amen.
That's what the Philippines needs right now.
Yeah.
That's what all the world needs right now.
Yeah.
Thank God for Brother Joe guarding the gate for some crazy man who might come here with a automatic rifle and maybe shooting people in, inside the church like what happened in Texas. But folks, the liberals and the modernists, they would again say, oh, we really need to push this gun control thing in America. Get all the guns from the American people. I would say that's not the issue. I would say that's not the solution. The solution is bring back God in your homes. Bring back God in your life. Bring back God in your families. Bring back God in your school. Bring again the altar where all the families would be kneeling together, praying, humbling before God, here, right here at the altar. Folks, when was the last time that you willingly, voluntarily walked down the aisle and just humble yourselves before the Lord, before a mighty God, telling him, oh God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Just like that sinner in the temple who prayed, forgive me, I'm a sinner. He walked out of the temple being justified before God. Amen?
Amen.
Because he humbled himself before God. If my people don't hear the gospel from the right man. And Paul said, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How then shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's why there's a need. I am thankful that after God saved me, he called me to preach in 1984. I was saved in 18 years old. I was called of God at age 20. I married at 21. I went to the mission field at that same year, 21. By the grace of God, I'm not taking any credit for me, but I'm all giving God all the glory. But 22 years ago, folks, God had already used me in so many ministries in the Philippines. What I'm telling you now, folks, if you will pray for us and make us to be the 61st missionary of this church, we make sure that all your prayers and all the support money you are sending us will really do a lot of things for the glory of God.
Amen.
Not just in the Philippines, but even outside the Philippines. In 2010, folks, I was privileged to start a Bible college. Actually, we just renamed it to Piedmont College of Theology, Asia Pacific Research and Graduate School System. We have so many graduates then, more than 5,000 graduates already. Just this year alone, we graduated 350 students. 65 of those graduates were all pastors. Pastors, and they finish a master's program with us. Master's program requires a thesis, right? But instead of asking them to write a thesis, we actually ask them to start up a local congregation. Plant a church and submit that church planted as the way of their thesis. That's why, folks, just this year alone, because of our college in the Philippines, we were able to plant 65 churches. And how would you like to be a part of that kind of ministry? In Acts 1:8, the Bible says, ye shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. If you look at the Israel map, pastor is going there. Thank you for sending your pastor there. Please, next time, send him to the Philippines. We want him there. I want to invite pastors like him who had proved himself worthy of the ministry.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
I met him way back in 1995. I don't know what happened that I didn't get to come here since then. I lost 22 years of your prayers and support. But folks, I'm here now. You can still take part in what we are doing for the Lord in Asia Pacific. Because we have so many graduates now in the Philippines and the whole islands of the archipelago, Luzon, Visayas, Mindanao. We have 25 campuses in the island of Luzon only, 5 cities in the Visayas and 4 cities in the island of Mindanao. We have put up more than 50 plus campuses of Piedmont College of Theology, Asia Pacific, even in other 10 more countries because of our graduates who are now in those countries, started a church and also brought the Bible College with them. And they are doing the same work that we are doing now in the Philippines. In fact, I have one graduate from Zambia, an African lady who owns a university. She went to the Philippines for saving money. Instead of me bringing to Africa, she came to the Philippines. But she promised me next time, Brother Ferdy, we will invite you to Africa. And I said, yes and amen. Folks, you don't realize the prayers, the support you are giving to the Lord's work. You know, when the Bible urges us to be giving in the ministry of the Lord, and I tell our people in the Philippines the same way, you know, although we receive support from American churches, we don't allow our people not to learn to give. We teach them too how to give. Although they cannot give as much as you can, but they try their best to give also. Because we believe that by learning the right way of giving, that will be the right way also, the best way that God would ever bless us also. That's why we teach them to give also. And I teach them 3 principles in their giving. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, I told our people, don't ever, ever give when you don't like to give. And don't ever, ever give when you are grouchy. Every time you will be giving, you should be happy and smiling. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Amen? Amen. God loveth a cheerful giver. God does not need your giving if you are not smiling. God is not after for your giving if you are just forced to give. Because the Bible says, not out of necessity or of necessity. Right? It is God. He said, God loveth a cheerful giver. Second principle that I'm trying to teach our people, I told them, when you give, do not look at the giving of others. Just concentrate on your giving. Just evaluate yourself on how God bless you. Because it is how God bless you that God will measure us. Luke 12:48 says, much is given, much shall be required. That's why I expect that not everybody can give $100 in the offering plate. Not everybody can give $50 in the offering plate. Not everybody can give $20 or $5 or $1. Our giving varies. Why? It is how God blesses us that we should be giving. Amen?
Amen.
Folks, that's not Marasigan. That's not Filipino. That's Bible.
Yep.
Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
I'm telling you, Bible. That's what God says. And the third principle I'm telling them is written in 1 Chronicles 29:14. When David recognizes the giving of the people for the temple, David said, O Lord, we were able to give this much because of your giving to us. Which means, folks, we need not to be boasting. We need not to come to a point in our lives that we should start walking like as if we have two big watermelons underneath our arm and we were boasting in our giving, telling others, oh, I am the one. It is because of me. It is because of me. No, it is not because of you. It is only because of God. Amen. Only God, folks. Amen. You ought to be thankful. I ought to be thankful that God had somehow was able to use you and use me. We are just all vessels. And some of us may be a vessel unto honor. Some of us may be a vessel unto dishonor. But one thing I know, we do not own anything. We are all but managers. What you have right now, folks, God only allows you to be his manager of that possession. That's why you ought to be really liberal in every need of the ministry, particularly your own Jerusalem. God wants for you to be a witness right here in your own Jerusalem. Amen? Amen. You got 60 missionaries there. Pastor Ryman should be the number one missionary. Amen? Yeah. Amen. He needs to be the number one missionary that should be supported faithfully by Faith Baptist Church. Yeah. All the rest of them, including me, should be second, third, fourth, fifth, or the 62nd, because he's the first now. A while ago, I'm the 61st, but I've included him to be the first. I'm the 62nd. I can be like Lazarus, folks, that all the little crumbs that are falling from that 60 missionaries, I could still pick up and use for our ministry there. Folks, let me borrow from what the Apostle Paul has said in Philippians chapter 4. Not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. I didn't come here to America to get what I wanted. I come here to get what we needed. Years back when I come here, I raised funds for us to be able to buy vans that we could pick up, load up children, because we used to be riding the children only with a motorcycle and with a sidecar. If you know how to Google, you Google motorcycle or tricycle in the Philippines. You would see in a single motorcycle, sometimes 5 family members are all sitting in one motorcycle. Not the Harley Davidson. It's the 120cc Suzuki, the small bike. We don't have Harley Davidson there. It's the Suzuki 120cc. The husband, the wife, and the 3 children. And we used to be riding them in a tricycle like that. But because of the giving of the American churches, 3 years ago, folks, we were able to buy 2 vans. Now our children are more safer and protected when we pick them up and bring them back. Our afternoon ministries are all entirely devoted to be teaching little kids and young people. I honestly believe that the young people are the future generation of the church. I can see a lot of young people in this church. Praise be to God. Young people, youth, remember now God. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I was saved when I was 18. I was called to preach when I was 20. I graduated in 88. I was ordained to the ministry in 88. I started the ministries that I'm telling you at age 21. Now that I'm 53, I have no regrets that I have ever given my life to the Lord.
Amen.
Because I believe in Romans 11:29, the gifts and calling of God. is without repentance. One of your men here asked me, are you here for deputation or furlough? I did not answer immediately, but I said, I'm on a medical furlough. Because last July, I was diagnosed with a heart enlargement. I'm only 53, but I feel 73 inside of me. Why? I am diabetic, I am hypertensive, and I have 44% remaining in my heart. So folks, if you wanted to be a part of our ministry, please do it now. ASAP. I don't know how long, how much time do I still have to be serving the Lord in His vineyard. But whatever, I trusted God fully because He owns my life. Amen?
Amen.
We all not to be boasting ourselves of tomorrow, for we do not know what this day may bring forth. Again, folks, as I have looked at your mission board bulletin, no questions asked, this church is a loving, compassionate, mission-minded, hearted church because it all started with this man who has a heart and love and compassion for souls. And I thank you all for becoming obedient to God and to the man of God that He has given you. I have many more things to say. But as a missionary, I should be reminded that he who preaches short shall be supported. May God bless you all.